Welcome to the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is suitable for all audiences.
The backfield, Mixon, Mixon's spinning, and he's in for the touchdown. Spot off with Timo and Amos, and the Bengals' first drive goes for six.
The snap is back. Trubisky with a nice clean pocket. Going to launch deep down the left side. Going for Kevin White. He was tracked down from behind inside the 30. That ball sailed out of bounds.
Left of Trubisky on third and nine. Pressure coming. He completes. It's White. He drops it.
Of Mitch Trubisky. Seven-man box. Play fake to the pocket. Stepping up against pressure and down he goes. Sacked down the play by Geno Atkins.
Offensively, it seemed like maybe there was one guy on every play that had an error, and they learned from that. And so you get to see that you need 11 people making the right assignment, and they'll grow from that.
Dalton is intercepted as Ross fell down. Long run back here. Kyle Fuller, touchdown, Chicago.
Defense, you know, again, it was nice to see Kyle have the pick six and finish that. I know 94 had a good little rush on that and created some of that.
Got him. Tyler Boyd. Touchdown, Cincinnati. Three drives for the first team offense. Two touchdowns.
It can't be, and it can't happen where it's the Bears beat the Bears. We can't do that. So, you know, they know that, and we as coaches are, you know, got to do our best to not let that happen and send that message.
Fans, this is Bears on Tap. My name is Aldo Gandia, and we have a very, very special show for you today. Mike North is going to join us in just a minute, and he and I are going to talk for an hour about his new show, which debuts next week here at the Bears Barroom Radio Network. It is called The Mike North Advantage. Mike and I are also going to talk about some of the other things he's going to do at the Barroom. We'll dissect that Bears-Bengals preseason game, and we're going to talk about gambling and find out some of the ways that Mike North has been making money as a first-class sports handicapper. Now, one quick announcement. This show, Bears on Tap, will now move to Sunday nights. It will be live. We will talk about the Bears game that day, and it will also be available on your podcast stream on Monday morning. How many times have you gotten into the car and you want to hear a Chicago Bears talk and you turn on the radio, you can't find anything? They're talking about the Cubs. They're talking about the Sox. They're talking about cricket. You don't want to hear that stuff. You want to hear Chicago Bears talk. So if you are unable to join us live on Sunday night on MixLR.com for Bears on Tap, the show will be on your podcast stream available for you on demand. So now, without further ado, let's talk to the man, Mike North.
There he is.
Mike North!
Yes, my guy, we're ready to debut!
All right, Mike, we are going to talk here for the next 30 to 60 minutes about the Chicago Bears, about sports betting, and about what you will be bringing to the Bears Barroom for the foreseeable future. We'll be making adjustments on the fly. Whatever it is our fans are asking of us, we will respond one way or another. I am excited to be partnering with you on this venture.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Aldo, I mean, when I first saw the Bears Barroom site and I saw the whole deal where, you know, you had Shane Marceau and you had Phil, Dr. Phil, and you have Bear Girl, and you were on Twitter, I started hooking up a little bit with some of the people on Twitter, and then I went on the show and I enjoyed it and stuff like that. You know, now that I've really, I guess you could say retired, although I still stay busy in a lot of different ways, but I do it at my own pace when I want to do it. I was sort of missing just talking about things that I think are pertinent, especially in Chicago sports, and that's, the Bears. And I saw a group that was really, really, I guess you could say almost made homers embarrassing, Bear Barroom. But you know what? Then I started getting it. Look, you know what? Last year, nobody gave the Rams a shot. Nobody gave the Eagles a shot. And the next thing you know, especially after Wentz went down, the next thing you know, the Eagles were in the Super Bowl winning it. The Rams were much improved. So, you know what? Anything could happen.
First, about last night's game, we are taping here on Friday morning. The hangover of the Bears' performance is still lingering with us, at least with me. You tell me how you felt after watching that 30-27 loss of preseason game number two to the Cincinnati Bengals.
I don't know how the Bears were still in it, but they were still in it, and that's because of who they were playing. These two teams I don't expect anything from this year. I was really shocked that Trubisky only participated in two sets of downs. Look, I think you gotta let the kid play a quarter, quarter and a half, two quarters, a half. I don't care. He's green still. He only played 13 games in college. Last year he played 12 games. You're talking 25 games. He needs the work. He needs to be playing with the first string. And somebody said, well, what happens if he plays out there and the first string is off the field and he's playing with the second string? Hey, it's football. You're taking a chance. But you know what? You don't let a second-year law student ask a couple questions in a murder trial and then sit him down. And then at the end of the murder trial, he's got to give the closing argument. You just don't do it. You got to have experience. You got to have some games under your belt. He doesn't have that. And I really thought that John Fox was back coaching last night. I know that people are going to go, well, what do you mean by that? Well, just watch the game. I didn't see much of a difference.
Coach Matt Nagy did say that he was not going to showcase any of the motion, RPOs, quick huddles. Any of that stuff is going to be kept under wraps because he wants to surprise the Green Bay Packers on week one. And everything that they're doing is in preparation for that week one game. So I understand the vanilla offense, and I understand the desire to get Mitch Trubisky more snaps. I went back because I saw that you tweeted that last night, and it made a lot of sense, and it got a lot of reaction from people. I went back and looked at Carson Wentz's first preseason game in his second year. A lot of people compare Wentz to Trubisky. And in that game, he played only one series, but it was a 10-play drive. He went 4-for-4 and threw a touchdown pass. So he didn't even need to come out for a second series because he looked like he had complete command of that offense. And it was his second year with that particular offense. But I totally get your reaction to Trubisky getting more playing time. And I understand your courage in just saying, hey, it's football. There's a chance of injury even when the starters are out there. So you do make sense. You got a good argument.
Well, he's green. He's green. Carson Wentz played 40 games at college.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry. There's no comparison. Trubisky played 13.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz played 4 years.
That's right.
So he has more games under his belt. You got a kid here. You expect him to contend with the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings. And you're going to say, well, maybe week three we'll play a half. And then we're going to sit him week four? And you're going to go into the National Football League season because you're going to trick the Minnesota Vikings or the Green Bay Packers. You're holding back plays. Look, I watched the Kansas City Chiefs. They had a very good offense, but they had Alex Smith, who's a pedigree quarterback. Mitch Trubisky isn't. So you got a lot of work to do. And you know what? You got to play the kid. Your plan is to only play two series, then make something of those series. Otherwise, here, I'll even bend the argument for it going your way, Aldo.
Okay.
Play another series. You didn't get enough, and then I hear Jim Miller talking about he's 2-for-4, but he looked great. How did he look great? There's no sampling. It's a joke. And so I understand sitting certain guys, but Kyle Long had 3 off-season surgeries, and he played a lot last night.
He only played one series, Mike. I think he was only out there for one series. But I get your point. You're making a very, very valid point. And let me play a little audio for you of Mitch Trubisky's post-game conference. This was the very first thing he said at the top of his press conference.
It was sloppy. Some mental errors. Definitely didn't execute the way we wanted to, and definitely it was surprising because that's not how it was going in practice. So we just got to come out mentally sharper, more. We were aggressive with the shots. We just got to connect because coach is going to keep allowing us to throw the ball down the field, and just come out more solid. Just play within ourselves, and everyone just got to do their job. So I don't think we were as locked in as we should be, but I'm proud of the guys' effort in the second half. We were playing hard, and guys were competing to keep us in that game. We definitely had our shots, but early on, you definitely want to see a better start out of this offense, and that was just not the way we've been practicing, and that's not what this offense is going to be this year. So it was just sloppy overall starting off.
Now, his very first pass.
Are you kidding me? Garbage. And you know, they try to sell this to the Bear fans. And they've been trying to sell it to me for 50 years. I never bought into it. This is an inexperienced coaching staff with an inexperienced football team. You have to play. And to get better, you have to play. Practicing against you. Sure, you look good in practice. Hey, the Bengals look good against the Bear defense. You better look good against the Bear defense, because if there's a major concern that I saw early, and there's nothing to panic about,
sure.
Like you said, Aldo, we got four more weeks.
Right.
The defense didn't look that good. I mean, it really didn't. I saw gashes up the middle on runs and stuff like that, but I understand a lot of these guys are going to be gone. And if you're going to play vanilla, at least succeed playing vanilla.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You're right.
Look good playing vanilla, and I think that's what Mitch is talking about.
Very first play of the game, he threw a deep pass to Kevin White. He overthrew him, and then on third down, he went back to Kevin White, this time put the ball where it needed to be, and Kevin White dropped it. And after the game, Kevin White said, it was my bad. I took my eyes off the ball too quickly. And that's the disappointing thing, because he could have come back with a – Mitch Trubisky could have started – this preseason with a big bang play if he would have not overthrown Kevin White. Okay, so he overthrows him, but on third down, then Kevin White needs to hold on to the ball. It's a short pass for a first down. Come on. So I totally get your frustration. Totally.
Well, I'm not frustrated. I just understand how the Bears work. They're protecting a team of guys that aren't even stars. If you're gonna protect people, you know, I understand. Andrew Luck and Eli Manning took more reps last night than Mitch Trubisky. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. So I understand, you know, people are going to be saying, hey, Mike, we want to keep him healthy. Keep who healthy? Bray looked better than Trubisky. Bray, by the way, Tyler Bray, just missed on a couple passes, and I hope it doesn't cost him. Chase Daniels, he looked okay, but they both threw picks, so that doesn't help their cause. Mitch Trubisky didn't throw picks because he didn't throw. So it's really curious to see what we're going to see. I hope they load it up in week three, which I think or in next week. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I saw nothing last night, and even Mitch Trubisky sounded disappointed.
Yeah, Tyler Bray actually threw the prettiest pass of the game, and that was that pass to Daniel Brown that I think ended up being a 56-yarder. I mean, he put that ball on the button, and again, you know, it's against a third-string.
Boy, 6'6", yeah, but he's a third-string guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So when he goes against the third string, he's a third-string guy. He's 6'6",
right.
Seems to have pretty good presence, good vision. You know what? He seemed somewhat of a delightful surprise to me, but I think today he's saying I should have hit two other passes that were wide open. The receivers look good, but yeah, I know who he's going against. But remember, he's a third string center, probably given no chance of making the team. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Any other thoughts that you want to share about that Bears Bengals preseason game?
The offensive line is going to be a concern. You got to give Mitch Trubisky a little more time. When he did have other opportunities to throw the football, he had to scramble. I did like his presence in the pocket. Kevin White was the only, listen to this, there were 11 different receivers, running backs and receivers, and I just don't see it. He has to make every catch, every opportune catch that he can, and last night was not a good first night for him.
Is this guy going to be a bust? Is he going to be David Terrell part two?
I think he's a bust already. Yeah. I think it's all on him now to prove that he can play, and you know what? He looked away. Well, you looked away. You're a pro receiver. You've been given a long leash to make this football team. Ryan Pace wants you to make it. They want you to make it so bad, and they want you to look so good, and then guess what? It just... So far, he hasn't worked. Let's see what happens next week.
I got to ask you about one player, Ryan Nall, who we're actually interviewing very soon for an upcoming.
Right.
Yeah, he looked good, right? 95 yards rushing on 9 carries. He had a long of 69 yards. It was sort of a broken play, but you like the way this guy looks, huh?
I like him. I like Mazzell. I'll tell you another guy, Tanner Gentry. I don't know if he's going to make the team, but he had five catches yesterday. Shaheen, and this is what we're going to see. Everybody thinks that this guy, Nagy's going to throw the football, Aldo, all over the lot. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what he's going to do. I mean, he is going to throw the football, but Shaheen looked a lot and ran a lot of the same pass patterns that Travis Kelce from the Kansas City Chiefs runs, mm-hmm. and the tight end is featured prominently with the Kansas City Chiefs and was featured always under Andy Reid and Matt Nagy. So I like the way he looked also last night. He looks like another guy that is a future maybe Pro Bowler to me.
I agree. Now, I got to point out a couple of guys on the defense, and you rightfully so said that defense looked worrisome there for.
It looked horrible last night, I thought.
You know, guys like Marcus Cooper, veteran cornerback, what is going on with him? It seems like when he first joined the Bears, he was playing really well. And then when he had that goofball play where he had intercepted a ball and then it was stripped just as he was entering the end zone, it seems like that was like the end of his career. He just can't do anything right after that.
Well, last night he had just a horrible night. I know he's going up against A.J. Green, an ace receiver. We get all that. But you know what? That's what you got to do.
Yep.
And you know what? He got the opportunity to get some playing time. I thought Kyle Fuller was a mixed bag. He has that big interception on a slip, which was fine. Yeah. I don't care if the receiver slipped.
Exactly.
Fuller was there to get it. But then he gives up on a plain soft on the end zone, that soft slant pander for a touchdown. But I still like that return. Also, I think that's very telling, Aldo, and what's very good about the Bears last night is they scored in every quarter. So you saw them hit pay dirt, whether it was on the defensive interception or whether it was on offensive production. You saw the Chicago Bears score every quarter, while the Bengals did have a zero hung on them in the third. I sound like I did my homework, don't I?
Yeah, you always
don't
do
I
your homework.
Don't I sound like I did my homework? Like I actually watched the game? I did.
Now, did you really watch the game, or were you watching baseball?
Yeah, I watched the whole game. I'm working for it. Hey, look at Bear Barroom. It's going to be the number one destination, and you could go to North, because I'm always tagging Bear Barroom.
Awesome.
Or you could go to Mike at the Movies. But Aldo, you've got a great site here, and here's what I want people to know. This is a balanced site. You will hear the ball washing from some on Bear Barrow. There's no doubt. But then you'll hear balance. You'll hear the other side. And, you know, you'll hear why this guy's got to get better. Or maybe you'll hear me or somebody else bring up somebody that hasn't been brought up on the other shows. We got a strong band of shows, and it's good. And we invite all Bear fans, the ones that don't let the mainstream media lead you down the path of stupidity, come to us. That's all I'm going to say.
I love it. Hey, Mike, I got to ask you a question. What do you think would sell more, a T-shirt that says, I am a Bear ball washer, or a T-shirt that says, I am not a Bear ball washer?
Both. I think I'd like to have stock in both, but I think I am a Bear ball washer would probably sell better, because that would, you know what, all the mainstream media that covers the Chicago Bears for sure would get those shirts, because that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think more Bear fans would buy the other one. I am not a Bear ball washer, but you know what? I think more or less everybody has hope. Usually, though, it's false hope with the Bears.
Yeah, I love it. Now, let's talk about some people who are not Bear ball washers, and those are the agents representing Roquan Smith. This holdout now is approaching the 30-day mark. According to an article in the Chicago Tribune, I want to read, it's about a paragraph, so I'll try to get this as quickly as possible.
Sure.
It says here, initially, the contract dispute centered on whether the Bears could attempt to reclaim Smith's guaranteed money if he were suspended for an illegal hit with his helmet. At some point during camp, the Bears agreed to tailor language in Smith's contract to protect his guaranteed money from being reclaimed in that scenario. The Bears hoped that concession would prompt Smith to sign and report to camp. But Smith's representatives dug in further, seeking financial protection for a broader range of on-field contact outside the parameters of a football play, such as shoving an official or getting into a fight. The Bears, on the other hand, would want to limit protections of Smith's guaranteed money in violations, including football plays. So, who's right here? CAA representing their client and trying to protect all the guaranteed money, or the Chicago Bears?
I really believe there's some blame for both.
Yes.
But if I hit the lean, I'm going to lean with history. The Chicago Bears are to blame. They're to blame for most of their issues. Their front office is inept. They inherited it. I just ruled the day. I didn't know how bad it would be when Muggs Hallis died at such a young age. Mm. I didn't know how bad it would be. And now 30, 40 years later, we have a woman owner, a female owner, who's been just a matriarch of a proud franchise, who, quite frankly, I just think she sits up there and hopes and prays that the enough people she's hired will get the job done. And I just see Roquan Smith. I understand the agent's got to protect him, but it's an embarrassment for everybody. But at the end of the day, I don't think he's all that good that he's got to be protected completely. But I don't think the Chicago Bears have sent a positive signal to their fan base. And I think that things can be worked out. You don't know when they're meeting. You don't hear anything from the media as far as that's concerned. They're going to be very murky. The media is going to always take the Bears' side in this. And last night, if you noticed on Fox 32, whether it was Luke Kanellis or anybody else talking, or the feckless Jim Miller, you did not hear a whole lot about Roquan Smith.
Yeah, did not. And, you know, the Bears are being tight-lipped about that. I don't blame them. They shouldn't be negotiating openly. But
it's a bad PR thing for them.
Exactly.
I mean, Joey Bosa's the last guy that held out this long. And believe me, Senator, Roquan Smith is not Joey Bosa. So they got to figure out a way to get him on the field. But if he doesn't come on the field, it's not like, you know, when I was cramping in my drawers over Todd Bell not playing for the 85 Bears or Al Harris when they sat out. It, you know, it's Roquan Smith. I don't know if he's even going to succeed. So, you know what? He'll come back eventually, but they got to play with what they got.
All right. So Virginia McCaskey calls you up and say, Mike, you're making a lot of sense. I want you to come in here and resolve this situation one way or another. Would you, A, trade Roquan Smith and try to recover some resources? Would you, B, concede the CAA, or C, other?
I think that there's other. I think there's negotiations that you could sit down, but I think I could settle it in less than 3 hours.
Really?
I don't think I really believe with the Chicago Bears and with the way these teams negotiate. And look, they can't even get a policy in the National Football League right about the anthem. You know, you got a law set down, and some of the players don't want to follow it, and they go, okay, that's okay. This is the National Football League. You got a bunch of owners who inherited teams, who are members of the Lucky Sperm Club, who are trying to negotiate in 2018. High-tech type of athletes and agents, and I just think Ted Phillips and Ryan Pace are overmatched. I really do, and I think it's bad for the whole football team, and it's a cloud that hangs over the head of the Bears and Matt Nagy and what they want to do.
Mike, why was I born on the Unlucky Sperm Club? I was born in debt.
The Lucky Sperm Club, the country's filled with wonderful, whether it be Drew Barrymore, member of the Lucky Sperm Club, we all know that, from the very famous Barrymore people.
Oh, yeah.
Eli Manning, Lucky Sperm Club, although he does produce, but he got his opportunity because he had lineage from his father. It's a Lucky Sperm Club. Come on now.
Oh, that's going to be like a feature or a T-shirt or something. I love it. Okay.
Come on now.
Now, Mike, I want to...
I'm not a member of the Lucky Sperm Club. Believe me.
I don't know many people who are, but I'll tell you, when you say...
Look, how about the Fondas? Lucky Sperm Club, Jane Fonda, Peter Fonda.
Gosh, yeah.
Especially Peter Fonda. Lucky Sperm Club.
Without a doubt.
Come on.
Without a doubt. Now, when you say that you resolved the situation with Roquan Smith in less than 3 hours, I have to believe you, because you and I reached an agreement in much less time than that. So you
I
are...
I cut a $7.5 million contract without an agent with Dan Mason, okay, of CBS, in less than 4 hours. And we had been going back and forth over the phone and with, you know, other station managers. I was just in there by myself. For 2 weeks, I finally flew to Potomac, Maryland, and me and him cut the deal. It's all nonsense. They're a bunch of the guys handling this. Ryan Pace looks like is a child in this. What has he done? What has he done in a positive way for this football team so far? What has he done?
Well, I can list some things, but most of them are like more in a wait and see. I mean,
they're all speculation.
Akeem Hicks, I know you don't think he's Pro Bowler.
He's a potential Pro Bowler.
Yeah, okay. All right, I won't debate you on that one, but I want to take you back to 1992.
I love how you threw in a player. So now that's your argument. You threw in one. How about Akeem Hicks?
I got other players.
Yeah. The one person that smoked in bed whose house didn't burn down. Everybody else that smokes in bed, their house burns down. Akeem, how about Akeem? Out of nowhere. How about Akeem Hicks?
I want to take you back to 1992. And when I say that date, I wonder if you know where I'm going with this.
I know the score.
Okay. You did a live interview with then Bears president Michael McCaskey, and some people said that you were not nice to Mike. I've looked all over for a clip of that. I haven't found it. But do you still have a beef with the McCaskey family?
And
do you think that they harbor any ill feelings toward you?
Oh, they hate me. The Chicago Bears hate my guts, period. They still got the same people there. Yeah. They got dinosaurs there. They started out as young people, and now they're all like dinosaurs, and they hate my guts. Michael McCaskey got fired by his mother. That's all I'll say. And I smelled him from a mile away in April of 92 when they got rid of Jay Hilgenberg. They just kicked him out the door. But I had seen this. We had seen this with other people like Wilbur Marshall, other great players, and the lack of loyalty and the lack of knowledge, the ineptness. And when he came on for some reason because he thought, I'm Michael McCaskey, I'm the president of the Bears, so this guy's some 4-month guy. To him again, I'd ask him what it's like to be fired by his mommy.
Now, I got to tell you, if you were to put together a list of all of the Chicago sports owners, he and who are the worst ones, right? He probably is up there near the top. I can't say he's number one because we've had so many bad ones. I mean,
Jerry Reinsdorf's had one World Series in 35, 36 years.
And six NBA
If he doesn't have Jordan, he never wins a championship.
Right. So
he's been I give him a C-, and that's a guy with six titles. But then you got the one World Series, so I give him a C-. Rocky Wirtz, you got to give a B+ to, although I predicted 5 Stanley Cups in 10 years. That's not going to happen. Yeah. Jonathan Toews, for God's sake, isn't even a top 100 player anymore. He's the third highest paid player in the league, but that's not on Wirtz. I think I give them a B+. The McCaskies are a D- to an F. That's an automatic. That's so simple. It's sad. They'd be the people that build a new building and they don't put that central air in. They're so far behind the times that they don't know what they're doing. I think the Ricketts family gets an A+. I give them – that's an ownership that gets it. Thank God Mark Cuban never bought that team. But that's about it in a nutshell. So I think there's one decent owner in this whole town right now, and that is Ricketts, and I think Rocky Wirtz is a pretty damn good owner, too.
Okay, well, it's hard to argue.
How'd you like them apples? I just take them and, hey, look, you either get the ball bad or you don't. There's no in-between here. There's no black and white, Aldo.
Yeah.
You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
There's no gray area, I mean. There's a black or there's a white, period.
Gotcha. All right, let's turn our attention to Vegas and the Bears. Right now, the over-under for the Bears is 6.5. You've been on the show before. You've been on Bears Barroom before. Are you kind of leaning towards the under? You still there?
Yeah, I'm still with the 5.
Okay.
I pick them to win 5 games. Maybe they'll surprise me. Maybe they win 7. I don't predict them to go to the playoffs. But, I mean, if they go – what's scary is if they go 7-9, you got some hope. There's still 2 games under 500. I think it's important that they get off to a good start. I just don't see – I think the offense might improve. I think they got to load up on the running game. I think they got to quit being copycats and trying to pass with everybody. I'd like to see Mitch Trubisky throw 20 times a game and load the ball off to Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen and let the defense try to get some turnovers like last night. The Bears threw a lot last night. They didn't, they ran pretty good too, by the way. So, you know what? I'm going to stick with my five, but I'll be happy if they can go higher than that.
Now, let me ask you this. From a bettor's perspective, you've had a lot of success with sports betting.
Oh, by the way, I want to just say this on behalf of everybody on this wonderful channel. I started off my inauguration last night by taking the Rams, and they got smoked last night, so I'm 0-1. To let everybody know at Barstool. But don't worry, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and we check things out at the end of the year.
All right, we will. Absolutely. I mean, you can't.
But I got kicked in the nuts last night, and I don't feel good about it.
I'm going to put in a sound effect of an iron bell clang there. Bang!
On my head.
Now, let me ask this. Can preseason performance sway your mind to go on the over on that 6.5? So if, for instance, in game three, or for the Bears this season, because they play the Hall of Fame game, it'll be preseason game number four. And the starters will play three quarters. If they go out there and they just kick butt up and down the field, offense and defense, well, all of a sudden you say, okay, well, the starters look good. They look ready for prime time. I'm going to say the over on the 6.5. Could you change your mind if something like that happened?
Well, here's my deal with that. Here's it. It's easy for all of us to say that. But then, if I say to you, we got to make a decision on the over and under, and we're going to put bearbarroom.com up as our bet in Vegas, and if we are right, we make another 50 G's. Vegas gives us 50 G's to continue to fund this wonderful venture. And if we don't make it, we lose Bear Bar Room. What are you doing? See, it's easy to say, I like the over, I like the under. Put your money down.
Yeah.
Then you're a little more leery about that 6.5 deal. And I think 6.5, it seems easy to get. But remember, Bear fans will always lean positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm even a Bear. I'm a lifelong Bear fan. But I don't let my heart get in the way. And I just think, okay, if we're going to use the argument of what we saw, we're going to see in 2 weeks. I'm going to use the argument of what I saw last night. I love my five wins.
Okay.
And I know
that's
it's
fair
only
enough.
The second exhibition game.
That's fair enough. Now, I got Brett Maley, who is a writer for Bears Barroom. He's an art curator.
Sure.
He's on the Pawn Stars show. And he
good
knows,
man, good
yeah,
man.
Good man. He sent me a copy of Doc's Sports Journal, the 47th annual edition. This is a kind of a must-have book for bettors. It's really well-done little book.
They've better got, more than my school books when I was 14 years old.
That's right.
I had it in my back pocket when I went to biology class.
Really? You did?
That's oh, yeah. Awesome. Doc's is famous.
Yeah.
Doc's is pretty accurate at times. They have a pretty good run compared to other. Back in the day, you had to go to the newsstand to go
right.
Pick up your stuff. You didn't get it off of, but you get Docs right off the computer now.
Yeah, well, they got a neat little booklet here, and they've got the Bears at 100-1 chance to win the Super Bowl. I'm thinking about, my wife is going to Vegas next week for on business. I'm thinking about giving her $100. Am I just throwing $100 away? Right?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not? Or take me to lunch. Or let's just burn it in the middle of a deserted parking lot and scream. If there's one of three, or send it to Haiti. And so it will disappear.
It's out
of our very own hands. Anything we want to do. I think our best, we've got a better chance. We got a better chance of Beyonce saying hello to us. Walking by on the street. Hi, Mike. Hi, Aldo. Then the Bears winning the Super Bowl. That being said, the only thing that we know can happen is the Bears can win the Super Bowl. Someday, maybe there's a shock. Throw the 100 down. What do you got to lose?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So now this, I find this incredible that they've got the Green Bay Packers at one of the best odds to win the Super Bowl, and that's a 12-1. And the only team that I see better, they've got the Vikings at 10-1, and they got the Patriots at 6-1. You have a problem with any of those odds?
Well, the Green Bay Packers, because of Aaron Rodgers, I think he's more concerned about other things now.
It seems like
football.
It, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's been distracted the last year. Ever since he got hit and slammed to the ground and, you know, started whining for 3 months about how it was such a late hit, and it wasn't. he's been involved in everything, but and then he takes out his anger on the scout team because he's not playing last night. He takes his anger out on the scout team. We didn't look good, this and that. He you know, speaks out of class. Here's your leader. You know, whatever happened to keep it in the locker room, and this is the same guy that everybody felt sorry for because Brett Favre used to beat him up verbally. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up doing the same thing. I think Aaron Rodgers, he's got one Super Bowl. I think he's overrated. Period. End of story. I mean, he's the third best quarterback in the franchise's history if you really want to get down to it. Bart Starr won two Super Bowls. Brett Favre, superior to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers he's not only not the best quarterback in football right now. He's not even the best quarterback in the franchise's history. So let's see you do it again, Hotshot. Let's see you win a second one.
Wow. Strong words from Mike North about Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he's a Green Bay Packer. He's a cheesehead on top of everything else. It doesn't have, you know. And he used to hang out with Ryan Braun. Another cheesehead, steroid cheesehead.
I love it.
I don't want any bad mail though from the Green Bay Packers. I like their colors,
the green and gold.
The green and gold. But you know what? That's about it.
Right. Well, I've got to ask you this, since we're on the topic of the Packers right now. Vegas is giving the Bears 8.5 in that Week One game. Given that the Bears have beaten the Packers the last three times that a new Chicago Bears coach has gone to Lambeau Field, is that a good bet? Take the 8.5?
You know what I would probably do with that game?
Mm-hmm.
If I was taking Green Bay, I'd take the money line, which means you have to bet $155 to win every 100, Aldo. I'd take Green Bay with no points. Are they just going to beat the Bears?
Okay.
That's the way I'd bet that game. As far as getting 8.5, it seems high to me right now. But I think we wait and see what transpires. I think, like you said earlier, what happens if the Bears show good in the last game or the third game with Trubisky? So I think you got to wait and see. Right now, 8.5 seems like a lot of wood. I'd probably lean towards the Packers.
Okay, well, that's going to be interesting. So we're,
yeah.
Now, do you expect that line to move at 8.5? I mean, it's to me, man, that's a lot of points. I almost feel like laying 100 on that. But
you know what? When you feel like laying 100 on something, that might be the incentive for me to go the other way. Because the public is usually ignorant about the certain things that happen. Like, logically thinking, I think a lot of people will take the points.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I would just bet the game straight up. Who's going to win the game? I don't think the Bears can win the game. So I would bet the money line on that game. And by the way, Green Bay doesn't have all the tools that they used to have either. So Aaron Rodgers, I think, is impatient and got on his scout team the other day because he knows somebody else has to emerge a little bit because they have lost some players.
Yeah, he's not happy that they allowed Jordy Nelson to leave and they didn't even consult him on that. And
at Bear Barroom when that happened? I said Jordy Nelson was a hell of a guy to lose for him because they just had that comfort level together, and I don't know what's going to happen to Jordy Nelson, but I do know this, he was a good fit with the Packers.
Yeah, it's one of those things where those two guys together, you know, were special, and now that they're apart,
it's like getting rid of Danny Amendola with Brady and not telling Brady.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that. You'd say, you know, I'm sure they'd consult him, but I mean, that Jordy Nelson, when you think of the big catches over the last 3-4 years,
mm-hmm.
from Rodgers, it's been him.
Mm-hmm.
It's been him. Except for the injury year, and that set the kid back a little bit. I'm on my game today. I just feel, you know, you got that rhythm. I got that rhythm with you for some reason. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask
you. You know what I mean?
What'd you have for breakfast, Mike?
4 cups of Starbucks. Largest. And a banana.
Okay, well, that's...
And a banana. Exactly. You can't have enough potassium. Coach Ditka told me that.
Okay, well, if the coach said it, then we got to...
When the coach says you need potassium, kid, you eat a banana.
Sweetheart, bring me a banana.
That's right, and peel it and cut it in half.
There you go.
And put it on a plate, damn it.
Okay. I asked some of our barflies for questions, and we got a couple of good ones here. Tooch at Santucci John, he writes for the for Bears Barroom. He wants to know, what trends do you look for when betting NFL games? Sharp action, injuries, home and road trends, grass and artificial turf trends, indoor and outdoor, etc. Mike?
I think trends are garbage. I think that more ridiculous, Aldo, is like when you hear, well, Penn State's won 9 of their last 13 against a certain team. Yeah, but this might be the year they don't. I think ridiculous things that you hear said about when you hear, and this is when gambling becomes more prevalent, we're ahead of the curve right now, ahead of a lot of podcasts. But when you hear trends, you know, on turf and everything else, remember this. Before 1983-84, the trends went against the Chicago Bears for 20 years. So if you bet the trends in 84, 85, and 86 against the Bears, you got murdered because they had a whole new group of guys. So you know what? I think where trends come in, I guess you could probably say history. I think the biggest trend I used to watch the most was Monday Night Football. This team's like 11 and like San Francisco, the 49ers. They used to be spectacular on Monday Night Football, so they were a good bet. I would take the odd days. Now Thursday Night Football, how do they do on Thursday night? Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. I think trends come into play more for those because some teams can work on a short work week and other teams can't. That would be the one trend I look. How do they bounce back with 4 days off? You know, from a Sunday game to now playing a Thursday game. That's the trend I'd look at.
You know, the one trend on Monday Night Football that has paid off well for me, the underdog Monday Night Football team is usually a good bet.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you know what? There's a lot of guys that are chasing by that time that are down. And the NFL, let me just say this on behalf of anybody that's handicapped. I'm one of like 2,000 people in this country. In this country, that's more than the stock market. That's more than any kind of business for the most part that makes money off sports gambling. Not many men do. Not many women do. Mm-hmm. Not many people do. So I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But you can have a bad year or you can have a bad league. The toughest league to bet in is the National Football League. So much information. You get deluded. You change your mind 15 times. College football, easier. Major League Baseball, an easy bet. Same with the National Hockey League. The toughest bet of all is the National Football League. No doubt about it. So you can look at trends or anything else. What you got to really try to do is money manage and only bet one or two games a week, and that's what we're going to, or on a Sunday, that's what we'll be doing on Bear Barroom.
Awesome. The great advice. And Kieran, out in Ireland, we got a barfly out in Ireland. He goes,
God bless the man. He's a hell of a man. His dad was a sheep herder.
He says that the start of the season before oddsmakers start to catch on to trends is how you make money both in football and basketball. Odds makers still use the previous season to project lines. You agree with that?
No. And I'll tell you what. If you bet before the season on projections like opening day, what happens if Andrew Luck doesn't work out? He looked good last night, 6-for-9. You know, he's back a little bit. Or what happens if Dak Prescott gets hurt? You know? It changes everything. The quarterback, to me, I think you rate your teams by who your quarterback is. It's no mystery why Brady's been to 7 Super Bowls, because it's Brady, regardless of who his teammates have been. So he's a trend that's easy. I just think, Eldo, that you just got to judge each week as a new week. You can't look at trends. You got to try to look at the football team you're looking at now. Maybe the trends you're looking at have been going on 10, 15 years, but these guys weren't there. I do know this. The one trend I would say to everybody, and I believe me when I tell you this, folks, I'm about 170 over 500 in my career. And I would say this. When you see line movement, don't pay attention to it. Like, if it goes from 3 to 3.5, because last night, for instance, I saw that. It didn't mean anything to me. In fact, I got scared. I think the odds makers do the line movement more than the actual people, unless somebody puts down a huge bet. Mm-hmm. The Rams went to 3 from 3 to 3.5. So I said, okay, it went from 3 to 3.5. That didn't make me feel any better when I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out I was right because they lost by over 20. So I'd say don't look at line movement. Have your mind made up the day before if you can, or I'll help you make it up in the morning or when we do our Bear Handicap segment or our NFL Handicap segment, which we're doing now.
Cool. Excellent. Excellent. Now, Frankie
I'm
Myers.
I'm pretty informative, aren't I? I'm almost like educated.
That high school education at Senn is really paying off.
Let me tell you, the 2 years in seventh grade did wonders.
You know, I got to tell our listeners that you and I both went to Senn High School. I went for about a semester and a half. How long did you go?
I got thrown out after my second year after my counselor, James Neeson, and if you're around, I'd like to meet up with you someday. Just to tell you, you were wrong. He called me a bum, said I'd never amount to anything. To get thrown out of a public high school because you just don't go, I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated school. Couldn't stand it. Was boring. I wanted to go to the school store. I wanted to go to the beach. I wanted to go to the racetrack. I wanted to play baseball, football. The only reason I went my first 2 years was so I could play on the sports team. So I played Frostoff basketball. But that was it. And then I left, and it was the best decision I ever made. But 99% of the people that pull that stunt will regret it. So I'm a big guy. See, I'd be an honor student now. That's the way things have progressed. I'd be an honor student now in today's educational program. But I came around at a time when everybody was pretty smart. So guess what? I ended up getting kicked in the pants, but it worked out.
Yeah, I think it did.
I don't have no trouble buying salami.
No,
you ain't be out of house and home yet.
I did, BB.
Oh, my God. You were like a lion and a flamingo.
And wow. I had another doggy bag too, didn't I?
Yeah, then BB gives you a doggy bag and then the cookies, which you say you give your cat. I had a buddy, we used to give him 6 cookies and then take home to the family, right? 6, 8 cookies, right. Chocolate chip, butterscotch. We asked the wife when we saw her a month later, how the cookies? She goes, what cookies? Believe me.
That's how I was in my family yesterday. Yes. Yeah, I walked out.
By the way, is Allen Robinson ever going to play? Remember that famous argument? Allen Robinson
is
Jerry Rice, according to a lot of the Bear Bar. I won't mention any names.
We'll talk about that further in the next show, maybe.
He should have played.
I got to ask you this from Chachi at Frankie Myers. He's a devoted barfly, and he always brings a good take on things. Now, he asked this question, very simple question, but it's a really good one. How do you even make a bet nowadays? I mean, it's supposedly legal in 50 states, but I still got to call Rocco in Vegas to lay down a bet on a game.
Yeah,
what's going on, Mike?
Right now, there's only 2 or 3 states. I think the NFL's behind. I think most of the networks are behind. I don't think it's caught on immediately like they thought. Remember, politicians are going to trip the Rivers Casino, who already put in for a registration or a license. But, I mean, where is everybody? We can't even handle the lottery in Illinois. What I have is I have a personal guy that we bet back and forth with each other. But he's got plenty of money. I got plenty of money. So, you know, hurt each other. You know, if we raise it, we got the money to match and stuff like that. But we try to keep it moderate. Mm-hmm. My days of throwing big money around on bets, like, you know, I used to make bets. I made $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 bets. I don't really do that much. I'm more productive. Look, it hurts me more to get a game wrong for the barroom people like I did yesterday than to lose money. Or it hurts me more at Vegas Scores and Odds, which I was 1-1 yesterday, to lose for people who pay me for my picks than, you know, when I lose.
Mm-hmm.
So I would prefer to win for the people, but I do very well. But it's hard. And you know what? I've won 13 out of 14 twice. I've won 13 in a row once, but I've also lost 9 in a row twice. So, you know what? you just got to learn to weather the storm, and you got to enjoy the highs, but not get overconfident. That's it. It's look, betting's going to be huge soon. Right now, you could go overseas, but I don't trust them. Try to find somebody that you can go through in the city. There's bookmakers still around. There's bookmakers in Vegas. Because what people don't understand, Aldo, is you're going to have money mm-hmm. when you go to Rivers or when you go to a casino to drop down to make the bet.
Right.
In other words, I can call a guy and go, give me 200 on the Bears. Mm. He'll say, okay, Mike, thanks. Hang up the phone. If you go to Rivers, you better have the 200 to put down.
Right.
You can't just say, you got to pay ahead of time. And I think there's still people that will not have that kind of money to throw down when it actually happens and will stay with their bookmakers,
mm-hmm.
as sad as that may seem.
Mike, I got to tell you that when I go to Vegas, I usually hang out at the penny slots.
Yeah, well, you're the guy that looks up at people and looks for the woman with the free drinks.
That's me.
Yeah. You're leery. I'm leery of people like you. Here, the people that really scare me, the people that can walk in those electric carts.
That's
right. You know, they go to the slot machine and sit on them. Scary.
That's right. They're in the electric carts, and then when they get a jackpot,
then you see them get up and walk to the slot machine chair.
Exactly. Exactly.
What the hell is that?
And then they get like a $20 jackpot, and they jump up and down celebrating.
Right. Yeah. And then they forget that they're supposed to be, you know, crippled from the waist down.
That's right. How right. true is that? Okay, Mike. One of the things that we're going to do on your new show, which debuts next week, called The Mike.
It's like a soft opening at a restaurant. When me and B, we wouldn't tell people we're opening the stand. We'd have people come in, and then they try everything out. We'd have 10, 15 people, and then boom, then we're ready.
Exactly. That's how we're doing. This is like
Rich Melman does. Rich Melman brings in people. Steve Lombardo, when he opens a new joint, they send an invitation out to me and other people. We go there and we check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Then they open.
I love it. Based on what we have done here today on this show, I think that
catastrophic. We're catastrophic.
I think that we have made a promise to our listeners and to all new listeners that we could actually we might be able to entertain them for an hour with Bears talk.
I actually made you laugh out loud a couple times. I'm encouraged.
Well, my wife is tickling
you. You got a hell of a personality on you. I like that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. We make a good team here. Let's.
We do. I think so.
let's do this. I want you to give us some betting advice on one of the NFL preseason games from this weekend. Now, we've got tonight the Falcons and the Jets, or you can pick the Lions at the Raiders, or tomorrow we've got the Vikings at Denver or the Chargers at Arizona. Pick one of those games and give us some betting advice on any one of those four games.
I already got this charted. I got Atlanta. Take Atlanta tonight. And they're getting 4 at New York,
mm-hmm.
The Jets. And also take the under 35.5. So that will be a parlay. Let's see if we can at least win one of them. The one thing I don't want to do is lose both of them and be down already at the fabulous Bear Barroom handicap page. But I like Atlanta tonight. Let me just go and check the black box. You ever seen my black box?
No.
Huh?
No.
Okay, I got the black. Here it goes. Atlanta right now is at +4. Yeah, because Matty Ice isn't playing. So and you got Sam Darnold, you got the hype of New York. Hey, preseason games are tough. They are tough.
Yeah, you don't know.
Either way, I'm going to tell everybody this at Bear Barrow, especially in the NFL. If you don't think I'm right, go the other mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're going to go the other way. So I like tonight, I like Atlanta +4. At New York, which is going to be hyped, and I like the under 35.5 in that game. And as far as betting advice is concerned, don't blow your load. And I mean, you don't bet more than 2 or 3 games on a Sunday. You try to keep it to 2 or 1. We will win that way. Mm-hmm. You're asking for trouble. So my tip is, not tonight, because we're in the batting cage right now. We're just getting loose. When the regular season starts, we're going to just give 1 or 2 picks. We're going to manage our money. When you go to Vegas, you'll win. And if you lose, you'll still have money from the previous weeks. I knew guys who used to win. I knew guys when I used to bet with them, they'd be down. They'd win $1,300 from the bookmaker the week before, Aldo, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they'd lose $900 the next week to the bookmaker, and they didn't have the money. No, keep your money. Have money set aside if you can afford it for your gambling. Don't make it an issue and just go 2 days a week.
I love it. That's
or
great.
Two games a day.
That's great, great advice. Now, let's just go through a really quick glossary of betting terms for people like me. I mean, I've gone to Vegas and I bet and so forth, but every once in a while they throw some verbiage at me and I'm like, what the hell is
going
on?
Right, you're at the cage and you don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
And, they're looking at you. So I get where you're coming from.
Okay, so give me an example of some of the betting terms that I need to know in order to feel confident when I'm at the cage.
Right, two-team parlay, you take two teams.
Okay.
If you bet $25, you win $65. You win over half of your bet. Let's say you take the Bears -3 and the Colts -3, and they both win by 10. You win both bets. Parlays are good. Sure you can. Parlays are good. Money line bets. In other words, if the New England Patriots were playing the Bears, New England might be 200 to... I mean, the Bear, they might be -200 against this Bears team, which means you'd have to bet $200 to win $100. The Bears are $190. In other words, you bet $100, you can win $190 on the Bears. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But they got to beat New England. As far as a run line or point line, you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
-6.5, that's a 10-cent line. In other words, on $100, you lose $110. Same thing as if you bet Green Bay +6 against Oakland, they lose by 7. On a $100 bet, you lose $110. If you win, you just win $100. You don't. They always on a loss make that 10-cent vig or that 10% vig, which gives them a slight edge. Against a good gambler, though, against somebody that knows what they're doing, you have the advantage. Believe me when I tell you this. And don't listen to anybody that says you don't. A lot of guys go to Vegas. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, I went to Vegas. I lost $4,000. But, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win.
Right.
And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before they even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive.
Got to treat it like a business, right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
that's what we're going to do. We're not going to bet 6-7 games on a Sunday, even on college football. On the Bear Bar Room Mike North handicap page, there's 100 games. Yup, we'll bet one or two. That's the way to do it.
Excellent.
If you do it any other way, you're out of your mind.
This is going to work out good. We're going to make people money, and then they can spend it on the I Am a Bear Ball Washer t-shirt.
That's right. That's our big thing. I'm a Bear Ball Washer.
I love
it. You know what I mean? And have the bear, have a bear standing with his hands, with a towel in his hands, rubbing his crotch. Bear Ball Washer.
I love it. Get the design guy working on that now. Okay.
Get the Bear Bar Room. Yeah, get Shane. Get Dr. Phil to start working on that.
All right. I got one more question regarding betting terminology, and I want to ask you first, is this something I should know, and is it something I should do? Buying points. What does it mean, and is it something I should consider doing?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. Today, for instance, I'm looking at the baseball games. This is Friday morning now. And when I go to the line, I'm up at 5 o'clock already handicapped in some of these games. You're sleeping. You're out like a light.
Hell,
you know
yeah.
What I mean? I'm busy working. For instance, Washington Nationals are playing the Cubs today. The Cubs are favored by -145 on the money line. If I want to bet, though, the run line, the Nationals, I can get a run and a half, but I have to pay 170 to win 100. So in other words, I can bet the Nationals today, which I might do. I'm not sure yet, but I'd have to throw down 170 for every 100. So if I win $500, okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to pull down 750. to bet it. You get my, for I look at it, they're playing the Cardinals. They're getting a run and a half at minus 130. So you got to throw 130 to win 100. Now, there can go the other way. If you want to take, I got a game tonight. Cleveland's playing the White Sox. And the White Sox are really bad. If you want the minus 1.5, you throw down 100 on Cleveland, minus 1.5, thinking they'll win by more than the 1.5 runs, and you win 115 on 100. So you could win money, too, that way. So that's what the run or the point line is. The same thing happens in football. Okay. I'll give you a perfect example, Aldo. Tonight, with the point line, in fact, they don't have it out yet. They only have the money line. The New York Jets are minus 192 tonight. If you think they're going to win outright, you got to throw $192 down to win 100. Am I keeping you enthralled?
I'm telling you, I'm scribbling my notes here, and then I realized, right. Wait a minute, I'm recording this thing. Why am I writing this down?
Yeah, that's right. You can listen. This is we want listeners, including you. I want you to listen to the show. I think it's quite entertaining.
I think so too, but it's also educational, and I'm going to feel.
Well, I'm an educator. That's on my business card. Mike North, educator.
You come a long ways in being thrown out of high school.
Right, I'm a late bloomer. I started getting it when I was 60.
You've grown from suspended student to teacher.
Exactly. Call me the professor.
All right. So this is a feature that we're going to do on the new show called the Mike North Advantage. We're going to talk about gambling. We're going to get some lessons from the teacher, Mike North. He's going to talk to us about all of the little ins and outs that we need to know before we go up there and make a bet, so that way we feel more confident with our decision making.
And you know what? Like I said, I could lose my first nine with Bear Barrow. That's not the point.
Right.
Like I said, I've won 13 in a row. I've won 14 of 15. But I've also lost nine in a row twice in my career. And that's no fun.
Right.
But you got to take the highs and the lows steadily. And this is coming from me.
Right.
Steadily. I didn't learn how to do that until about 5 years ago. I said, this is ridiculous. I'm handing my bookmaker three envelopes to every one that I get back. So I'm losing. I got to figure out a better way, and that's what I did. And that's why I've been very successful over the last 3-4 years with Vegas Scores and Odds and Jeff Allen Sports.
Well, and it's very
similar. And now Bear Barroom.
And I want to tell our listeners that the Mike North Advantage premieres next Friday. It's basically this show with maybe some more bells and whistles. We'll have a fancy audio open and who knows what else. But
yeah, we took the restaurant opening. You know, we had our friends over to see how do you like this, how do you like that.
Right. Yep.
That's all.
People are also going to be talking about the video commentaries you're going to be putting up at Bears Barroom starting in a week or so. And these commentaries are what, Mike? Tell us about them.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot attached to the Bears. They get a free pass in this town. You know, Matt Nagy is now Vince Lombardi. Mitchell Trubisky is Johnny Unitas. You would think that. There's no debate for the most part anymore. We will have those debates, or I will give you interesting 30-second to 60-second takes on the Bears. So looking forward to doing that. And the NFL. Other things that happen in the NFL. I want to do mostly on-the-field stuff. I think that's the way to go. Although, with the Anthem situation, I want to see how that transpires and see how that affects certain football teams when it comes to handicap. And we'll find out about that as the weeks go on.
Yeah, that is great. Stretch your wings on this. Talk Bears, talk NFL, and add a little spice in there if you want to talk about anything else. All of your followers, all of your listeners love your takes on things, so let's do it. So we're going to be talking.
I'm ready, baby.
Oh, man, I am ready, too. The infrastructure is getting set up on the website.
When you say infrastructure.
Isn't that cool? I learned that word a couple of years ago, and I've been using it like once a day.
I learned how to pronounce it a couple of days ago.
That's very good. Mike, I hope you had as much fun as I did on this.
I did. I had a gas.
What do we call this? We call this a a pilot in the TV business. They call it a pilot. So this was the pilot of the Mike.
We're like Hill Street Blues. years, they'll want to cancel us, but then you'll turn around and 10 years later, boom, here we are still.
Oh, Hell Street Blues, what a great show.
What a great show. Yeah, Daniel J. Travanti was on my TV show. I love the guy.
Oh, great actor. And what was
lived in Lake Forest. Lived in Lake, still, I don't know if he's still around, but lived in Lake Forest.
And what was the name of his co-star, the very attractive brunette?
Hamill. Was Joyce.
Hamill?
Veronica Hamill,
Veronica
baby.
Hamill. There you go. Hey, Mike, tell people about your podcast where you talk about the movies, the classic movies. I've been a guest twice.
Well, we do Mike at the Movies. We have the gangster special out right
now. Yes, awesome.
It's great. We do from 1930 1980 once a week. Mike at the Movies. You go Mike at the Movie One for the Twitter. We're in our infancy, and plus I'm on Bear Barroom now, and I'm on Vegas Scores and Odds. So, you know, I really love the classic movies. I love everything I'm involved in. I can do because I'm retired now, and I really like just working on projects. I got a big project coming up that will be announced sometime next week that is going to floor a lot of people, and hopefully I'll have another announcement the week after that. So everything's going good, Aldo, and I got to, you know, you've been to my house a couple times. I've been by you. We're having a good time, and we're passionate about this project like everybody else is with Bear Barroom.
Very cool, Mike. It's been a pleasure. I'm really excited about our partnership. Thanks for spending over an hour with us, and we'll talk again next week.
I'm winded. Just kidding.
I'm winded too, but it's in a good way. It's like a burn after a good workout. Very cool. All right, Mike.
Never mind.
Exactly. All right, Barflies and new listeners, thanks very much for tuning in. Don't forget, on Monday, it's Bears Are Alive with Draft Dr. Phil. And in the middle of the week, Hump Day, it's Bears 100 Proof. We're scheduled to have our interview, I should say, with running back Ryan Nall. Remember, if you drink, please do not drive, and always bear down.